Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Giannis cracks 20,000 points for his career, becoming the 52nd player in NBA history to reach that distinction.
Bucks Talk starts now.
The Bucks are going to have their most lopsided win of the season, a 30-point win.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
Largest margin of victory for the Bucks this season. Most points scored this season. Back-to-back games with a triple-double, although it wasn't Giannis that accomplished it tonight. Continuing to see big movement, an impact, I should say, from the new pieces that were acquired at the trade deadline and overall the performance of this Bucks bench. Very, very little to complain about with what we've seen from the Bucks going all the way back to that first game going into the break, or the last game, I should say, going into the All-Star break, beating the Minnesota Timberwolves when you were shorthanded, maybe not quite as much as the opponent was tonight, but this has been a much different team since that February 12th date, where it's been a much more consistent team. You've seen this Bucks team now three of the last four games shooting 80% or better from the free throw line. Giannis has been a big component of that. Their defense has certainly been the story all season long. When we talked about, hey, if I would have told you before the season started, this offense was going to be, you know, kind of mid-tier, but the defense is bordering on elite in the top 10 for the duration of the season, you would have thought I was crazy. Defenses continue to overall be pretty good. I think early in this game tonight, you saw some moments where there was certainly room for improvement. But you're really starting to see that northward movement on the offense, and especially in the fourth quarter. Mentioned last night, if we look at the numbers for the season as a whole. So as of last night, this was 60 games worth of data we were looking at. The Bucks still ranked 30th in fourth quarter offensive efficiency. There are 30 teams in the NBA. So that is not a good place to be at. But in the games played since that Timberwolves game, going into the All-Star break, they're 12th best in fourth quarter offense. I would imagine that number's going to sit right around where it is now, maybe even a little bit better, given what they did tonight. And a big piece of it has been the play of guys like Kevin Porter Jr. You know, I saw the question I was asked by somebody in the Dallas Mavericks media group as well. Hey, why do the Bucks have these moments? And I know it's something that some fans and listeners of this show have asked the last couple of games too. Why do the Bucks have these moments where both Giannis and Damian Lillard are off the floor for this team? I said, well, I mean, Giannis is still on a little bit of a minutes restriction, that it's in the low 30s, right around 30 minutes a game that he's playing in. And in the interim, you know, because of some of the things that they've changed offensively, Brook Lopez rolling to the rim much more, playing in the dunker spot. I don't think Brook Lopez attempted a three tonight. With all that in mind, Doc Rivers wants to really maximize and spam the minutes that Giannis and Damian Lillard are on the floor together because of those changes that are happening around him. The fact that Chris Middleton is gone. You know, we talked about this being the three-headed monster. Who's the third scorer? Well, let's lean into Giannis and Damian Lillard. And Doc himself said before the game tonight, you know, I don't think this is something that we're going to do in the playoffs, but the other point was, by the way, another reason why they're doing it is working. You know, you go back to that game last night against the Atlanta Hawks where we pointed out on the broadcast, the Bucks were outscored by 8 points in those minutes in the first half where both Giannis and Damian Lillard were off the floor. In the fourth quarter, when those moments occurred, they outscored the Hawks by 5 points. Kevin Porter Jr. was a huge piece of that. Like we said last night, I don't know if they win the game without what Kevin Porter Jr. gave you tonight. Obviously, you didn't need that tonight, but Kevin Porter Jr. quietly records a triple-double in this game, and just his style of play, the type of player that he is, his strengths, and the ways he's able to get to his shot, it's something that the Bucks have not had on their roster in quite some time. The way he decelerates, the length that he has, he's really good from the elbows with those mid-range jump shots. He's got a smooth finishing ability. And at the time of the acquisition, I even said, I don't know that Kevin Porter Jr. is really a point guard. it's kind of the same conversation we had about Ryan Rollins, and Doc Rivers was quick to point out he's not a point guard. We're kind of teaching him how to be a point guard, but he's more of a combo guard. I have the same thoughts with Kevin Porter Jr. The more you've seen him, I still don't know that you can say he's a true point guard, but he is certainly much closer to a point guard in this form than Ryan Rollins is. And this may be exactly one of the things that this Bucks team was missing before the trade deadline. But top to bottom, every single player that they have brought in at the trade deadline, it has paid off. The vision that John Horst saw, the reason why you would make this move, it's not just this season. I know some of the things that help them out down the road, it doesn't help you win a title this season, but it puts the Bucks in a much better position to continue to grow a lot of this squad. When you think about the roster flexibility in terms of finances, too, to downgrade a contract, to bring in a younger body, to get under the second apron as well, to open up future draft picks for this group and potentially open up even more money where they could, if things break a certain way, have some cap room this summer to spend. But you also brought in three guys that are making an impact for you. And I think we all focused entirely on Kyle Kuzma. Even what Kyle Kuzma has brought the Bucks so far, I think, has exceeded expectations and has been to higher levels than any of us anticipated in a couple of key areas. Jericho Sims, we've seen, and the thing to keep in mind about Jericho Sims, we still need to see how this fits when Bobby Portis returns from suspension, but you've gotten another thing from Jericho Sims, a dimension that you haven't had before in quite some time. And of course, Kevin Porter Jr., who there was no denying the talent, and now you're really starting to see that talent pay off for the Bucks in a big way. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as we recap the biggest win of the season in terms of point differential. The Bucks beat the Dallas Mavericks by 30 and score 137 points. That's their most points scored in a game this season. All the events that occurred in this game, those two things that we just mentioned. Giannis reaches 20,000 career points. Brooke Lopez moves up to number 19 on the NBA's all-time blocked shots list. Kevin Porter Jr. records a triple-double. This game had a lot of everything in it, but most importantly, it had another Bucks win, who have now won 8 of their last 9 games and continue to put the pressure on the Indiana Pacers and the Detroit Pistons. Pistons, by the way, are playing tonight. We'll get you updated on that score and also take a little bit of a peek to the weekend. Two big games for the Bucks, two Eastern Conference teams that are very likely going to be at least in the postseason. The Orlando Magic sitting in the play-in tournament, they're dealing with injuries. We'll take a look at what kind of a team we can expect to see here in Milwaukee on Saturday night. And that leads us to the big one on Sunday, the Bucks and the Cleveland Cavaliers for the final time this season. But plenty of time to hear from you, and I'm curious to hear who's paid off the most so far for the Bucks in these moves that they made at the trade deadline. I mean, I think it is clear Kyle Kuzma, in terms of minutes played, both ends of the floor, offense and defense, he's brought you a substantial impact. But I think Kevin Porter Jr. has really exceeded expectations for a lot of Bucks fans, and perhaps the same can be said for Jericho Sims, who we're starting to see more of now as well. 855-616-1620, the number to join us. More after this on Bucks Talk.
Second free throw, and he knocks it down. There's the triple-double. Kevin Porter Jr. with his third career triple-double, and on back-to-back nights, a Milwaukee Bucks player has put up a triple-double.
Yeah, Kevin Porter Jr.'s last triple-double came as a member of the Houston Rockets back on March 22, 2023. Had a big game against the Bucks earlier in his career when he scored 50 points, I believe. That was the year the Bucks won the NBA championship back in 2021. But look, the conversation around Kevin Porter Jr. at the time of the trade, we talked about this. There's no denying the talent that is out there. He himself said, and he gave a couple of really interesting quotes in the last couple of days, but he talked at the time of the deal about, you know, wanting to be somewhere where he was wanted. And I don't know that that was so much a shot at the Los Angeles Clippers, because Ty Lue, you know, had nothing but good things to say about him and the person that he saw and worked with and got a chance to know. The Clippers came to Milwaukee shortly after the trade was completed, and he was asked by local media here as well his thoughts on Kevin Porter Jr., and again, spoke very highly of him. I think it was more so his days in Houston and Cleveland. I mean, those two teams, much different spots back then than they're currently in. And that was the other thing that Kevin Porter Jr. had talked about. You know, I haven't really been a part of a winning culture and winning team. I'm still getting around these things here. Kyle Kuzma talked about that a little bit, too, of, hey, it feels great to be back on a winning team and playing winning basketball. It's ironic, too, that, you know, this Dallas Mavericks team, we talked about it a little bit last night and what they're going through now, and talking with some people with the Mavs earlier tonight, too. You feel pretty bad for Mavericks fans and people associated with the organization, not just the trade and how much that's been picked apart and dissected that sent Luka Doncic to the Los Angeles Lakers. But look at the last month, look at the last couple of years for the Dallas Mavericks and how up and down it's been here. It's a team that just last year was in the NBA Finals. And a lot of us, maybe just because of disdain for the Boston Celtics, a lot of us were talking ourselves into, well, here's the ways that the Dallas Mavericks can beat the Boston Celtics. So you go from last summer being in the NBA Finals, another year where Luka Doncic leads his team on a playoff run, the story that Kyrie Irving had been since going to Dallas, and maybe redemption arc is a bit too strong, but Kyrie Irving's path since joining that team at that trade a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now at this time, to get to where we are now. I mean, even last year, the impact that Derek Lively had, the growth that you saw from him as a rookie. You add Klay Thompson in the offseason, and here we get to the trade deadline. Not even, you know, a couple of days before it, you trade Luka Doncic. And even at the time of that trade, I think everybody was almost universally against it, but the notion of we want to play and build around our defense and somebody like Anthony Davis we think can push us to this level. Then he goes down. Then everybody else associated with this team seemingly goes down. And then the big one coming earlier this week when Kyrie Irving goes down with a torn ACL. It's been rough for Dallas to think about going from NBA Finals, NBA champion runner-up, I should say, last year, to now where who knows if they're even in the postseason. They're currently clinging to that 10th spot in the play-in tournament. And the Phoenix Suns, who should be sending thank you cards to the Dallas Mavericks, because if it weren't for that Luka Doncic trade and everything that's come since then, all the focus in terms of what's wrong, what's going on here, would be centered around Phoenix and how is this team where they currently are. Remember, the Phoenix Suns started this season 8-1. They're 29-33. They have gone 21-32. Since that 8-1 start. That's the team that's grabbing the headlines. And why isn't this working with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker? Bradley Beal, say what you want about the contract and the current version of the player that he is, but still a skilled player. The new coach in Mike Budenholzer. If it's not for the Dallas Mavericks, that's where all the focus is going. But now the door is wide open for Phoenix to get back into the postseason. And you just looked across the way tonight, and you felt bad for everything that's happening in Dallas. But I thought it was important before the game when Doc Rivers talked about it too, and Jason Kidd shared some thoughts on this one. A couple of interesting quotes that Jason Kidd had overall where I think you could see some frustration coming out from Jason Kidd of a couple of the questions that he was asked. But as Doc Rivers put it before the game, look, we've gone through this a couple of times before this season against teams that are severely shorthanded. I've gone through it. You know, I've been on the other end of it where I'm coaching without four or five guys and we managed to win a game because it's a competitive league. And these guys, and whatever cliche you want to use, hey, both sides are paid. Nothing's more dangerous than a wounded animal. It all rings true. And it's a competitive league. It's guys that when they're on the floor, you know, we can talk about front offices and what they're looking to do in terms of playing for draft picks and the whole tanking notion. The players don't want to tank. You know, when they're out there, they're playing to win. And all you need is just a little bit of a sliver to give that team the opportunity. One of the ways to do that you were kind of worried a little bit earlier in this game. Maybe worried's a bit strong, but you were certainly monitoring the turnovers because that is one way to allow a shorthanded team to hang around in this one. And the Dallas Mavericks still scored 25 points off of turnovers tonight. 17 Bucks turnovers. Think about that. The Bucks turned the ball over nearly twice as many times as the Mavs did tonight. Mavericks scored 25 points off of turnovers and still just put up 107 points for the game. So, in other words, when the Bucks were not turning the ball over, their defense was getting back and getting set and stopping the Mavericks, forcing them into not the greatest shots. A 102.9 offensive rating for the Dallas Mavericks in this one tonight. So an under 103 defensive rating for the Bucks in this game. Their half-court defense, I thought, without looking at the numbers yet, was excellent. You know, again, don't put yourself in those spots for turnovers, and you're going to be doing a pretty good job. That's what we saw throughout the course of the game. And the Bucks just never gave the Dallas Mavericks a chance to get back in this game. You think back to a couple other games earlier this season, not quite as important tonight. I know we're all quick to point out this was night two of a back-to-back. I talked about this morning on a different show, too, of when asked, hey, who's going to play for the Bucks in this one? Because you know the Mavs are dealing with injuries. They're down players. It's night two of a back-to-back for the Bucks. Are they going to rest their stars in this game? And I wondered if maybe we'd see Damian Lillard out of this game because of the shot he took to the face last night from Clint Capella. But outside of that, Brook Lopez always plays in these games. You know, we talk about finding rest for Brook Lopez. He has very much been an Iron Man. He's always out there. Giannis is clearly frustrated. Not that it's anything that's going to set him off, but Giannis clearly wants to be playing more. He doesn't want to be on this minutes restriction anymore. It's something that the organization is saying, look, this is what's best for your health and certainly for that calf. Let's not mess around with this and make sure you're in a good spot. So I didn't really think Giannis was going to sit in this one. I did wonder about Damian Lillard. But the other piece of it is, while it is a back-to-back, you got 2 days off between your next game. It's the last time you're going to get it all season long, but you got 2 days off. So that kind of takes a little bit away from the back-to-back, and I think that's what we saw tonight with everybody, save for Gary Trent Jr., available in this one, and Ryan Rollins out as well. Ryan Rollins, by the way, just upgraded to a standard contract, so you can continue to play him now. But Ryan Rollins unavailable away from the team for personal reasons. And this was everything that you needed. You know, a couple of times to finish that point earlier this season, you'd seen the Bucks build up a big lead against the team. The last one that really sticks out, that Utah Jazz game, which, by the way, coincidentally, was the last time the Bucks had both Giannis and Damian Lillard score 30 points or more in the same game. You think back to that game, Bucks were up big through three quarters. You go into the fourth quarter, all of a sudden the Jazz make it close where you got to bring your regulars back in. You didn't do that tonight. And that's one of the things, other than the individual play from guys like Kyle Kuzma, Kevin Porter Jr., Jericho Sims that we touched on as well, other than the boost that they have clearly provided you, the other thing that really stands out for the Bucks during this nine-game streak now is they haven't really had any of those moments where you look up and the score goes from the Bucks are up 5 to, holy cow, they're down by 15 right now, or they're down by 5 and before you know it, it's 20. Like, for the most part, all these games have been competitive, or the Bucks have been the team that's been extending the lead. They have been playing much, much better basketball, certainly on the offensive side, and the defense has remained as solid as ever. And you feel pretty good about where things are starting to head now. Still got 21 games left, still have a very, very challenging stretch coming up in the back half of the month of March. But this is really starting to feel much different than it did a season ago. 855-616-1620, the number to join us here on Bucks Talk, as the Bucks again make it four straight, knocking off the Dallas Mavericks tonight with this victory. Now wait for the Orlando Magic to come to town. So this was also the start of six out of your next seven games being played here at Fiserv Forum. I want to take a look at that schedule, certainly the six home games, but some of the movement that we saw with this game off the ledger in terms of the Bucks' opponents' remaining strength of schedule. We'll open up that conversation after this on Bucks Talk.
was drafted by the Bucks. He's won a title by the Bucks, and he's still a Buck, and he wants to be, and loves the town, loves the people love him back. He's made this a place where people want to come, you know, in a lot of ways and play. Just says so much about him.
Head coach Doc Rivers talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo, who I suppose we haven't spent enough time on. Became the 52nd player in league history to score 20,000 points throughout his career. He did say after this game, pretty adamant, like, I'm going to get to 30,000. And even reflected a little bit on his journey, joked about Jared Dudley, who by the way, is an assistant coach with the Dallas Mavericks under Jason Kidd, was his teammate when he came into the league. And said, you know, Jared Dudley was one of those players that kind of took me under his wing and pushed me to grow and mature as a player, and even joked of as a person off the court too, telling me you got to move out of, you know, that apartment that you share with your mom and get your own place. Jason Kidd before this game too talked about Giannis, and that's it's always going to come up with Jason Kidd and with Giannis, the relationship between those two, the impact that Jason Kidd may or may not have had. I mean, I think Jason Kidd himself has pointed out, yeah, I could see there was a special player in there, and I had certainly some thoughts and ideas on how to help get him there, but Giannis was going to get there. You know, any Bucks fan is certainly familiar with the drive and the story and the type of person and personality that Giannis is. Like, when that's in there, it doesn't matter who the coach is. It's coming out of there. But I had some ideas I shared with him. I think he appreciated learning from me as a former player, not his first coach, but, you know, the first coach that he spent the most time with was Jason Kidd. Larry Drew, just the one season in Giannis's rookie year there. But Jason Kidd was the guy that was the first to really lean into growing and developing Giannis. And he was asked before the game tonight about, you know, hey, Giannis is going to reach 20,000 career points in this game tonight. What are your thoughts on that? And the player that you've seen him become now, not only winning two MVPs, becoming a defensive player of the year, winning an NBA championship as well, but if we look back at these last couple of years, 2 years here, the guy that he started to morph into, especially this season, who's found things like a consistent mid-range shot and really expanded those portions of his game. And as Jason Kidd said, and I think it's fairly obvious to all of us too, he's one of the best players in the world. It's special because that's an elite group to join when you get into 20,000 career points. And 52 players have done it. You can say, well, 52. I mean, how elite is 52? 52 players out of however many hundreds of thousands and more probably that we've seen play in an NBA game and sustain an NBA career. 52 guys now with Giannis have scored 20,000 points in their career. When it's all said and done, he's going to be remembered as one of the best to ever do it. 20 won't be the last number. As in, he's going to score more than 20,000, as Jason Kidd put it. You know, he's going to get to 30, as Giannis said he would as well. But besides the 20,000 points, it's what he's done for the city of Milwaukee and bringing a championship here to Milwaukee. Sometimes it goes unnoticed that he plays hard no matter what. And I think that's important because it shows the younger generation it's okay to play hard. And Jason Kidd had a lot of interesting things to say before the game tonight. I want to get to the other thing he said in just a second, but those comments of Giannis's importance, again, you don't have to remind anybody listening to the show just how important Giannis has been to the franchise, to the organization, to the city of Milwaukee, to the team on the court as well. Jason Kidd, that's not lost on him either. He saw it firsthand. Doc Rivers talked about it after the game as well, and you heard some of those comments there. I mean, players want to come to Milwaukee. You go back to before Giannis arrived. I mean, I remember doing these shows from the booth that I'm staring at now when the Bucks won an NBA championship. And I remember we stayed on the air until 4 or 5 in the morning the day after winning the championship. or the day of, the night of winning the championship, into the early morning hours to just reflect on what this meant. That the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, a team you go back to, depending on how deep your fandom and how long you had been following this team goes, you know, certainly if you were around for those Bucks teams in the 80s, you saw a lot of great basketball. But you saw a team that, unfortunately, played in the same conference as the Boston Celtics, as Doc Rivers' Atlanta Hawks, right, as the Philadelphia 76ers. And as good as they were, it's kind of like, for a more lengthy and sustained period of time, albeit, but it's kind of like you think back to recent teams up until this season. A team like the Cleveland Cavaliers, who was starting to build something, play very well, but just couldn't get over the hump in the postseason. The Utah Jazz, probably a much better comp there when you think about what they did in the Western Conference. Those teams that had Donovan Mitchell, that had Rudy Gobert, our old guy Joe Ingles, a very good team year after year after year, but would run into the wrong team, would lose to the Denver Nuggets, would lose to the Los Angeles Clippers, right? Came up short in that sense. That was the Bucks, but for a decade. In the 80s, where you look back and you think, well, man, if the Bucks were in a different conference, maybe the finals that year would have been the Bucks and the Celtics, or maybe it would have been the Bucks and the 76ers. That's what they built for a decade. And then it drastically changed once you got into the 90s. It wasn't until 1998 when George Karl arrived. And by then, you had the number one pick. A couple of years prior, you brought in Glenn Robinson. A couple of years before that, you brought in Vin Baker, and the way that those two guys started to build some chemistry, and you felt like there's some nice pieces here. You bring in Ray Allen on that draft night trade that sent Stephon Marbury to the Minnesota Timberwolves, and you made a couple of other trades along the way, too. Obviously, Vin Baker gets shipped out. Terrell Brandon comes in. That eventually turns into Sam Cassell in a separate trade, and you really had nice pieces in place, but it took some time under George Karl. His first 2 years, you lost in the first round of the playoffs. You know, ironically enough, to the Indiana Pacers, who you lost in the first round to last year, and you may be playing in the first round this year. It wasn't until that third year that you really broke through. You won 50 games. And even that notion, you know, for me, as somebody that at that point, the 2000-2001 season, I'd been immersed in Bucks basketball for probably about a decade. Didn't think I'd see a team in Milwaukee that would reach the Eastern Conference Finals. You do that. The next year, a total disaster. It ends in Detroit, you know, where you lose, what, I think by 40 points, the final game of the regular season, a game that you needed to win to get the eighth spot in the playoffs. A team that was in the Eastern Conference Finals, took the 76ers to a Game 7, made one move in the offseason to bring in Anthony Mason, and it all goes south. And we never really see the Bucks get back to that level again. They were in the playoffs, but it was always, you know, a 7 or an 8 seed. You'd have to wait until that Fear the Deer year when you were a 6 seed, but you felt good about where things were headed. But even still, nobody had championship expectations for the Bucks that season. The Andrew Bogut injury certainly shaped part of that, too. And then you go through the wilderness for a couple of more years where you just think, well, I don't know what the ceiling of this group is, you know, and the whole conversation around the league in the 90s, the early part of the 2000s as well, of got to be a big market team, got to have a superstar. Bucks are neither of those two. Milwaukee's not one of the bigger markets. You don't have a superstar. How are you going to get one of those? Well, you got to get lucky in the draft. And you draft this Giannis guy. I don't know that anybody envisioned this. You know, people might tell you now, hey, I saw this and that and this and that, and there were a lot to like, a lot of things about Giannis's game to like at the time. Sure, I don't think anybody envisioned Giannis way back then. You know, the kid that was 6'9" when the Bucks drafted him. The footage, the grainy footage that you had to see of Giannis playing in smaller gyms in Greece and the level of competition that he was up against. It was a lottery ticket, but it was frankly the type of move, because of the position, that history we just went through with the Bucks that they were in, you had to make that type of move. It paid off as well as anything you could have expected. To go from a kid that was drafted where he was, his background, you know, having some nice pieces, the way he grew throughout his first couple of years, where I remember the expectations that rookie year when you saw Giannis in summer league and you saw some flashes and you thought, okay, maybe this guy can be a rotational piece this year. And then you go into the next year and you continue to see some flashes. You think, okay, maybe this guy is going to be a solid starter. And it's one by one the building blocks that you had of, hey, maybe this guy's going to be an all-star. Year by year by year, every single statistical category got better. I remember having that conversation year after year about Giannis, and it went from maybe we got something here, maybe he can be a solid starter, maybe he can be an all-star, hey, maybe this guy is an all-NBA player, to realizing this guy is one of the best players in the league. And now what he's done for over a decade here in Milwaukee, now 30 years old, as he said, I still got a lot of basketball in front of me. He's shaped his game. That's one of the other things that Jason Kidd mentioned, too. You know, the importance of Giannis's mid-range game so far this season. Goes without saying, as Jason Kidd pointed out, it extends his career. It gives him longevity because it's taken off some of that wear and tear. It's taking off some of the pounding under the basket. It extends your career. And that was one of the other major talking points about Giannis. Not this year, not last year, but throughout his career is, yeah, but how long does this hold up? You know, the old James Harden argument of the run and dunk man, like when the athleticism goes, do you still have a career? That's where the mid-range game is important. That's what Jason Kidd pointed out. That's what we've all seen for these last 2 years. But the long story short, to see this guy go from an unknown to what he's turned into now, two-time MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, the greatest player in Bucks franchise history, led this team to an NBA championship. The way that championship came together, too, where, you know, we talked about what the Dallas Mavericks are going through now with Kyrie Irving and that injury, the Luka Doncic trade. At the time of that injury in Game 4 against the Atlanta Hawks, we feared the same thing. Everybody watching thought Giannis tore his ACL or something very, very serious to that knee, and he was done not only for the rest of the playoffs, for the rest of next year. The existential question of what does that mean for the, you know, next season and the future of this organization. And he's back 10 days later and leads the Bucks to an NBA championship. He put Milwaukee on the map. You know, the guys, when you think about not just buyouts, free agent signings, veteran minimum guys that the Bucks have signed the past couple of years. Maybe Damian Lillard had more to do with Gary Trent this past offseason. Maybe, right? But without Giannis, the Bucks are not a consideration for those players to say, hey, I got a chance here. I have a chance to win a championship as long as I'm playing next to this guy. It's been a remarkable career. And some of these milestones that he continues to check off along the way, as Doc was quick to point out, you know, there's a lot about this we take for granted. You look at guys, we're always looking for the next new star. What Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has done this year, he's been incredible. I don't want to get into and relitigate Giannis versus Nikola Jokic. They're both terrific players. But I do think it's fair to say we do hear Nikola Jokic get mentioned much, much more than we hear Giannis and his greatness mentioned. And that was kind of the point that Doc Rivers was trying to drive home is, look, this guy's won a championship. This guy's done everything for the community. This guy kept the Bucks in Milwaukee. Who knows where that heads if you don't draft and develop Giannis the way that you did and he becomes the guy that he was that made this franchise relevant. I mean, I remember living in La Crosse, Wisconsin when I was in college and being a Bucks fan, wanting to watch Bucks games. They were never on TV. You would go anywhere and, hey, can you throw the Bucks game on TV? Nobody cared. When I lived in Madison, same story. You never saw the Bucks on TV. You never heard anybody talk about the Bucks. You never saw anybody wearing Bucks gear. Giannis comes along and it's become a statewide team where all of a sudden everybody is interested. They're invested in the story. They love his story. They love Giannis. They love watching him play, and the Bucks are a good team. I don't want to say single-handedly, but Giannis is as responsible for that as anybody in the history of this organization, and that is one thing we cannot take for granted, especially as he continues to rack up these milestones now. 20,000 career points scored, just behind Antoine Jameson, who he will pass maybe as early as Saturday when the Bucks take on the Orlando Magic. So a truly remarkable career, but as Giannis was quick to point out, it's not over yet. I'm going to get to 30. I'm going to keep moving here, moving forward here. And hopefully, with all the things that we've started to see here, the changes that we talked about, what Kyle Kuzma has brought to this team, the defense and the way it's played this season, you're getting back to the roots of the Bucks. Second championship on the way as well. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So we touched on Giannis getting to 20,000 career points. Kyle Kuzma continuing to pay big dividends for this Bucks team as well. And one of the other interesting things that Doc Rivers had to say before this game, I do want to circle back to what I mentioned about Jason Kidd and the other thing that got him really fired up before this game tonight. But there's an interesting question that was posed to Doc Rivers about this new-look starting lineup and some trends we're seeing throughout the league. And one area that he thinks the Bucks are actually in a really good spot now with these changes to their roster. We'll get into that conversation coming up next on Bucks Talk.
Green passes it ahead now to Kuzma. Kuzma goes plowing inside, lays it in with a foul. He was a wrecking ball there. Shades of the Greek Freak on that drive with the and-one opportunity. Kuzma coming off of a double-double last time out.
Kyle Kuzma, big game. Once again, Kyle Kuzma has been terrific for this team since that trade here. The athleticism, the defense, Doc Rivers talked about. I think the defense has exceeded my expectations. You think about the different types of players that you've seen Kyle Kuzma able to be thrown on and do more than enough in holding up. Jericho Sims, what he's done for this group to just give you another athletic big that can defend. Tonight, I mentioned this on the broadcast, there was a portion of the game earlier where Brook Lopez was on the bench, Bobby Portis is out, and yet the Bucks still had essentially three bigs on the floor, where you rolled out a lineup with Giannis, Kyle Kuzma, and Jericho Sims on the floor at the same time. So it comes back to the question that Doc Rivers was asked by Chuck Cooperstein of the Dallas Mavericks before this game about the Bucks' size. And, hey, the starting lineup that you guys have been going to with Giannis and Kyle Kuzma playing next to Brook Lopez, he didn't mention this part, but even Torian Prince that's playing your two-guard spot now. Walk me through the thought behind this, and also, you know, do you feel like more teams are trying to play big? And Doc Rivers said, yeah, like that was part of our thought process in putting together these trades. The league, this league, really gets into trends. It was a small ball league for a while, and Doc Rivers even joked around, like, it seemed like every team was trying to play small, but it didn't really feel like it was successful. Like, I don't think anybody really won playing small ball. The centers started to become extinct for a while. We even made the comparison of kind of feels like what we're seeing in the NFL, where it became, hey, running backs, you don't need them. Don't pay running backs. Move on from them. And then slowly but surely, you start to see the importance come back. You look at what Saquon Barkley did for the Philadelphia Eagles. You look at Josh Jacobs and what he did for the Packers. All of a sudden, a lot of teams are starting to go back to that. And I think what we're seeing in the NBA is teams are starting to discover who they were. He used the example of Cavaliers. And we've talked about Cleveland on this show quite a bit because of Greg Buckner coming over from the Cavs to help run this Bucks defense and because of some of the similarities in terms of personnel with that Cavs roster, at least prior to the trade deadline from a year ago, and the Bucks roster now, where you looked at some of the comparisons of Giannis and Brook Lopez. Brook Lopez is your more traditional rim protector. Giannis is your guy that can be the weak side help defender. He can play on the perimeter. He can be a rim protector. All the things that Evan Mobley does, essentially. And for Brook Lopez, that's the way that Jared Allen plays. You look at the perimeter for the Cavs. I don't think anybody, at least for last year's team, and you add somebody like DeAndre Hunter, that changes things a little bit, but I don't think anybody's going to look at the personnel for the Cavs and say, man, they're loaded with perimeter stoppers, similar to what you would have said about the Bucks. So you looked at that and you said, hey, can the Bucks kind of model themselves after Cleveland, especially knowing that's where Greg Buckner was, and build a pretty solid defense as the Cavs did? As we've seen, the answer to that is clearly yes. But Doc's point about the Cavs was, you know, they just kind of leaned into going with who they were. You know, they looked at their group and they said, we're big. So let's lean into it. Let's be who we are. And when I took the job, it was the same thing. You know, I joked about it in these settings that everybody says, well, the Bucks are old and slow. They're big, but they're old and slow. And you've heard Doc joke several times, if this is the Olympics, we're not going to win a track meet. We're going to have to win the shot put. That's where we win the gold medal. And said, we leaned into that. We said, okay, well, if that's what we are, then let's be big and powerful and physical. So I think this is more of a recognition of teams saying, look, if this is what our personnel is, let's extenuate that. Let's lean into that. Let's not try to be something that we're not. And the Bucks really leaned into it with these moves at the deadline. Now, you helped yourself in terms of athleticism, too, but they really leaned into size. The other thing that Doc Rivers pointed out, though, and I remember talking about this with a few others last year, was some of the changes that we saw, not rule changes, but just changes to the way the game was officiated last year, you know, what, January, that we really started to see more physicality enter the league. And that was the other thing that Doc Rivers pointed out. Look, they made changes to how the game is officiated a year ago. The league is allowing you to be more physical again. So we took that as, all right, we've said we're the bigger physical team. Let's lean into that. Let's play with size and force and bring in a Kyle Kuzma. You look at a front line of 7'1" Brooke Lopez, 7' Giannis, 6'9" Kyle Kuzma, 6'6" Taurean Prince is your two guard. Like, we're going to lean into our size. The Bucks are doing that. Cleveland Cavaliers are doing that. You're starting to see the Oklahoma City Thunder play both Chet Holmgren and Isaiah Hartenstein together on the floor at the same time. You're seeing more and more of that. And I think it's what's making the league so fascinating this year, that there was a stretch of 4 or 5 years where every team, and I think that's the point Doc was making, if teams are trying to play small, nobody ever won with it. Every team was trying to say, let's do what the Warriors did. Well, what the Warriors did was get two of the best shooters of their generation and filled in some nice defensive pieces around it. So getting different styles of play is important for the league, and leaning into what you do best is important for any team. That's what the Bucks have been doing here, certainly for these last few weeks. But I think the seeds were planted earlier in this season, and that's the way that the Bucks decided we're going to play this season. All right, so size, something the Bucks are leaning into here with Giannis Antetokounmpo and Brooke Lopez in the front court. Kyle Kuzma has brought big dividends for the Bucks as well with his defensive versatility. And now you're going to see those Cleveland Cavaliers in a couple of days here. As we mentioned, Sunday night, they come to Milwaukee. It's the last time you're going to play the Cleveland Cavaliers this season. And look, the unfortunate part, we know the record that the Bucks have against the Cavs, the Knicks, and the Celtics. It's not where it needs to be or where you would like it to be. The unfortunate part is mostly all those games came very, very early in the season. And as we said, Bucks have not only started to play much better, they've built a different team. So this is your last real litmus test. This and the Knicks game later this month. Cleveland Cavaliers are currently on a 12-game win streak after winning once again tonight. So you're getting them at their hottest. And it's going to be fascinating to see what we get on Sunday night. But between now and then, you got one more game to worry about. We'll take a look at that opponent, the Orlando Magic, and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk. 11 games above 500 for the first time this season are the Bucks after a big win tonight, taking down the shorthanded Dallas Mavericks. Just 8 players available tonight for the Mavs. And the Bucks steamroll them, 137-130. Most points scored in a game this season for the Bucks. Largest margin of victory as well. They've won 4 straight games, and overall 8 of their last 9, as they now get set for another back-to-back after 2 days of rest. The Magic come to town on Saturday night. They go to Chicago to take on the Bulls between now and then, so we'll see if the Bucks can keep it rolling in Game 1. It's going to be a Magic team without Jalen Suggs, who's out for the remainder of the season, undergoing knee surgery earlier this week. 7 o'clock tip on Saturday. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.